Last week, we ended off with a discussion of lots of things. We talked about two main things. We talked about were chiasmus in Tehillim, and sorry, I think so. Yeah, so interested that it's on. So we talked about chiasmus in Tehillim. We talked about parallelism. We learned Mizmor 67 simply to show that what we're talking about here tonight was well known for a long, long time. We saw in 67 through the use, we saw that menorah was nothing more than a graphical representation of what we spoke about and saw in the sheets broken down in a different way. But in reality, we know that they saw very clearly, certainly in that Mizmor. And it wasn't, when I say they, I mean whoever they were. Many people saw that. What we learned this week, you can find it in books, you can find it in the menorah for that matter. Just seeing it in the menorah points out how clearly they were aware of a structure. We said that the purpose of that structure was to accomplish something. This parallelism, this chiasmus. For those of you who don't know what parallelism is and are here for the first time, very quickly, we're talking about a structure. You're raising your hand. Okay.
I don't know what it is.
I'll read it to you real fast.
I do know.
I'll tell it to you right now. You have a nice little thing for you to read to you. Parallelism is the following. An example of parallelism is when you have... Oh, he knows. Oh, you know. Oh, chiasmus, you don't know? Well, chiasmus is an inversion of order in sequential literary parallel elements. So what does that mean? Such as A, B, B, A. That's what you call chiasmus. And that's what we saw in 67, and that's what we saw also in 76. We saw it very strongly in 76. We also saw alliterative patterns in 76, and we saw, besides that, an important thing that we saw in 76 was the use of the covenant, the symbolism of the berit, being emphasized through symbolic numbers, the numbers being 8 and 13. We gave examples of them last week. If you remember, we gave examples such as Adam giving birth to Shet when he's 130 years old and living another 800 years, or Moshe standing in front of Paroah at 80 and Yaakov at 130, and Yitzhak doing a Brit Milah on his Abraham doing Brit Milah on his children, one at the age of 8 days and one at the age of 13. We said later on we see the count of Bnei Israel when they do the census by David, 1,300,000 people, 800,000 and 500,000 being the breakdown, the 8 and 5 breakdown. So that's in a nutshell what we spoke about last week. We spoke for a couple of hours. What I'd like to do tonight is go straight into a mizmor and analyze a mizmor, a section of the Torah. The purposes of analyzing a section of the Torah are to show you that what we've discussed till now has its source in the Torah. The idea of parallelism, the idea of chiasmus, and the idea of the berit being emphasized through the use of the numbers 8 or 13 or both. And furthermore, a fourth thing that we didn't speak about last week, and that is we'd like to show how a word can have a numerical value and how the numerical value of a word can also be used in the symbolic structure, the symbolic representation. By a word, I mean what's known in the world. I hate to use the expression because it has been abused to the point of absurdity, the word gematria. When you take a word and you take its numerical value, now it became very, as Rabbi Sassoon, Alav HaShalom, used to say, it's been abused and it's been taken to heights that are just don't make any sense, where in reality the Torah uses this, and we will see, hopefully be able to show you tonight how, in fact, the Torah uses that in the most famous of all the words that has numerical value, and that is God's name, Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. For those of you who know, real quickly, the alphabet has 22 letters. Each one of them represents a number from 1 through 400. You get up to, is that right? 10, 20, 30, 40 through 90, and then 100, 200, 300, 400, and through the use of those 22 letters, that's how we get these numerical equivalents. Hashem's name is Yud, 10, and then here, 5. Did I say that? Yud, and then Vav, 6, and then here, 5. So 10, 6, 10, 5, 6, 5. And you end up with the number 26. So we want to show that tonight. If you'll all open up, if you have, everybody needs not Tehillim for this, you need a Humash. Any Humash is fine. What? Yes, I have it on, but it's good to look at, just so you have the text open in front of you, Ezra. If you'll put on the Ani Hashem, I think it's good first, Rabbi, if you don't mind, before we put it on, to just everybody look at your text for a minute, look at the Torah, open up to Shemot, Parashat Va'era, the opening, the first words, that would be Shemot chapter, I think, 6. Shemot, Exodus, chapter 6, verse 2, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? Chapter 6, verse 2. Strangely enough, Parashat Vayera does not begin with the first verse. The Christians who made the chapter structure that we have, that we use today, for some reason chose to make it start this piece, the Vedaber, the opening piece to our parashah, as verse 2. But you'll see why at another time. In any event, this is the beginning of the parashah. You all, those of you who are familiar, will be very familiar with these opening words. They're very, very famous. And it goes as follows. Vedaber Elohim el Moshe, and God spoke, Elohim spoke to Moshe, Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, I'm sorry, does everybody have the place? Because it's good for you to look in, please. Yeah. Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, Ani Hashem, I am, for purposes of this lecture now, we're going to go like this, Ani Yudke Vavke, I am Yudke Vavke. You see, it opens up with the words, Vedaber Elohim. It doesn't say Vedaber Hashem. It doesn't say Vedaber Yudke Vavke. It says Vedaber Elohim El Moshe. Vayomer Elav, and he said, and Elohim said to Moshe, Ani Yudke Vavke. I am Yudke Vavke. Hashem. Va'era El Abraham, El Yitzhak, Ve'el Yaakov. And I appeared to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Be'el Shaddai, as with El Shaddai. That's how they know me. They know me that way, as El Shaddai. Ushmi, and my name, Yud Ke Vav Ke, that name, Lonodati Lahim. I never let them know. I never made that name known to them. They knew me as El Shaddai. Shaddai is one of the names for Hashem. El, right? El is also one of the names. So that's how they knew me. Vigam, and also, Hakimoti et Biriti Itam. I upheld, or if someone follows me in English, correct me better, I established my covenant with them, Latet Lahim et Eretz Kanaan, to give them the land of Kanaan, et Eretz Megurehim. They translate this, the land of their sojournings, Asher Garuba, that they lived in. Vigam ani shamati et na'akat b'nei Yisrael, and I heard the cry of b'nei Yisrael, asher Mitzrayim ma'abidim otam, that Mitzrayim is making them, enslaving them. Ba'eskor et b'riti, and I remembered my covenant. Lachen, therefore, emor l'b'nei Yisrael, tell b'nei Yisrael, ani yudke vavke, I am yudke vavke. V'hoseti etchem mitat siblot Mitzrayim, and I will take you out of the suffering, the oppression of Mitzrayim. V'hesalti etchem abudatam, and I will save you from their enslavement, from their work. V'ga'alti etchem, and I will redeem you. B'zroat netuya, with an outstretched arm. U'bishvatim gedolim, and with great judgments. V'lakachti etchem li le'am, and I will take you for me to be a nation. V'hayiti lachem l'elohim, and I will be for you a God. V'da'atem, and you will know. Ki ani yudke vavke. And you will know that Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Elohechem, your God. who takes you out of the, how do you say siblot, Rabbi? A good translation for siblot? Suffering? That's not suffering. Okay, bondage, that's what you have? Okay. Of Mitzrayim. V'hebeti etchem el ha'aretz, and I will bring you to the land asher nasati et yadi latet ota. Now, how do you translate this word, asher natati et yadi? Nasati et yadi. We'll take a look real quick over here. I'd like you. I swore. But it really means, literally, to lift one's hand, right? Nasati et yadi. I lifted my hand, right? Right, exactly. It makes you think of this person in court. It's an interesting phrase. Asher nasati et yadi means like this. You know, I went like this. I hereby, you know, solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, right? Asher nasati et yadi, that I raised my hand. I'm sorry, I lost the place. Asher nasati et yadi, tet ota, to give it to Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Venatati ota lachem urasha, and I will give it to you for you as an inheritance. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. That's the end of the piece. Now, of course, you all know this. This is the famous one in Pesach. We say these are the four lishonot of Geula. V'hotzeti, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. Is that right? How does it go? V'hotzeti, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. Those are the four, they call them the four lishonot of Geula. But in fact, what happens in this mizmor is a very, very sophisticated structure, which is based exactly like we spoke last week. The only reason, again, I want to repeat, the reason we're showing you, we're talking, learning Torah, this is a lecture on Psalms, is because you have to see just how sophisticated this small statement by Hashem is. By the way, it's not a small, it's a major statement. It's a statement that you will no longer relate to me as El Shaddai. You will now relate to me as Yud Keh Vav Keh. I will now make that them. They didn't know that. Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, your forefathers, he's telling Moshe, they did not know me this way. So something very major is happening now. A new state of affairs, a new awareness, a new relationship between Hashem and Bnei Israel. And it's all, if you notice, a very covenantal statement. I'm going to uphold my covenant. I'm taking you out of Egypt. I'm bringing you to the land. And in this transfer, that you're going from being as part of the slaves, in this transfer, you're now going to relate to me forever differently than you related to me before. And that's because I'm going to make my name, Yud Keh Vav Keh, known to you now, which nobody knew before this. Not when you say Abraham Yitzhak Yaakov, you know what you mean? You mean everybody. You mean... Absolutely. You'll see the word mentioned in the Torah. The concept and what it means, the fact that the word Yud, Keh, Vav, Keh is used earlier does not mean that they saw God as Yud, Keh, Vav, Keh. You are now seeing that in retrospect when you get the Torah. So there are times in the Torah when you see the word Elohim. There's times in the Torah you see the word Yud, Keh, Vav, Keh. In fact, if you remember last week, we said that two of the five books of Tehillim are exclusively, the second and third books, almost exclusively use the word Elohim. You don't see Yud Keh Vav Keh. If you remember, we showed you on a little chart, if I'm not mistaken. You have it here. And then the first and the fourth and the fifth books use the word Yud Keh Vav Keh. And of course, these are related, these two. It's not accidental how it comes out that the usage is heavier in one than in the other. So I'd like to now, if you could put up that paper, and I'm going to stand at the back of the room. All of this stuff. And the reason we're putting up these charts, by the way, if you can close the lights, you'll be able to see this much better, or some of the lights, Rabbi. The reason we're doing this is because last week there were quite a few of you who said that you didn't, you weren't, no, that's okay, I'm not going to say it. There were quite a few of you who said, I'm in your way now. Mm-hmm. You know what, Ezra, if you sit down, I'll stand where you are. There were quite a few of you who said that you weren't able to follow the sheets very clearly, so therefore we're going to do it this way, thereby giving you the ability to very clearly focus. And basically, it goes like this. The structure, please don't get overwhelmed by any of these sheets. Just look at it, follow me for a minute, and I think we'll be able to relatively point out all of the different aspects of what we called... I'm sorry? Yeah, oh, by the way, we have sheets. I'm sorry. For those of you who would like to see these sheets in your hand, We'll give them out just 1 minute. We have copies. You want them? Or
yeah.
Just stay this way. Hold off. So now, look how it goes, as follows. We're going to take the words, Vedaber Elokim el Moshe v'yomer elav. We're going to leave that right now as what we... You remember last week we said there's such a thing called a super scripture in Tehillim, like Shir Lama'alot or LeDavid or Mizmor LeDavid. So we're going to treat the statement over here as the introductory words right here to God's Hashem statement, because this is, and Hashem spoke to Moshe and he said to him, quote, make believe in English now you would have quotes over here, quote, and the quote would be right over here, Ani Hashem, I am Yudkeh Vavkeh. And then you have like this. Here's how the structure goes as far as the chiasmus is concerned. And I appear to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. You go down to the end of the text, and it says, over here, Ezra, I think you're going to have to leave it in one place, because I'm going to keep going back and forth. Le Abraham, Le Yitzhak, Ul Yaakov. So, in the beginning, Ezra, just leave it in one place. You're not going to be able to do this. For those of you who can't see the bottom, if you want to stand or something, you can. I'll try and, you know, try and do this to the best of my ability. It's hard to do these displays. Okay. Okay. Now, you see over here, I appear to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. You see over here, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Now, in the next one, you say, I appear to them as El Shaddai, Ushmi, and my name, Yudke Vavke, Lo Nodati Lahem. I didn't make known to them. You follow and you come down to the other side. When I say other side, I mean the bottom part of the text, and you see, Vidatem Kine Hashem. Now, very quickly, let me try and explain to you that the expression, I am Hashem, those are the first two words that Hashem says, occurs at the beginning of the text. The expression, Ani Hashem, are the last two words that God says. So, his statement opens up on Ani Hashem and closes on Ani Hashem. There are two other times in this text where the expression Ani, the phrase Ani Hashem, occurs. One of them here and one of them here. This text consists of, if I'm not mistaken, Ezra, can you give me your sheets over there or wherever it is? I think this text consists of 102 words. These words, Ani Hashem, in the middle, if you see, are the 52nd word from the beginning of the text. From here, you start here, you count, you get here, you have 52 words. This word, Hashem, is 52 words from the word, let me make sure I say this right now. Oh, no, I said it wrong. This Ani is 52 words from the end of the text. This Hashem is 52 words from the word Ani. So you have like this, Ani to here is 52 words, and here to here is 52 words. Now, the numerical value of God's name, of Hashem's name, is 26. 52, you know, you folks are very familiar with people who would go up to the Sefer Torah, and they make donations, and you know the number, that's how you're familiar with it. They give $26, they give 52, they give multiples of it. I don't know if the Ashkenazim do that. But in any event, what you see over here is that the numerical value of Hashem's name in this text is 26. From one Ani Hashem to the next Ani Hashem is double that, is 52. Now, follow the next one. You see this Ani Hashem here? There's four of them. One, two, three, four. The third one, this yellowed area of Ani Hashem, this Ani from here to this Ani is 26 words. This Hashem is 26 words from the end of the text. You just count backwards. One, two, three, blah, blah, blah. You get to here, you have 26. You count from here, you get to this one, you have 26. You count from here, go all the way to this Ani Hashem, you have 52 words. You count from the beginning to here, you have 52. You count from here to this, you have 52. Anywhere you look in this text on the Ani Hashems, you see a progression between the Ani Hashems of the use of the numerical value of Hashem's name.
But then there should have been one at the 26th word from the beginning.
The 26th word from the beginning has the following. You see this word, Birit?
Yeah.
This statement over here, you have to remember, says, I appeared to Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov as El Shaddai in my name, Yudke, Vavke, I did not make known to them. I told you that you see the numerical word, the covenant, being emphasized with the use of the word, the numbers 8 and 13. The word Hashem over here is the 13th word from any. The word Berit is the 26th word from the beginning of the text. Anywhere you look in this text, you're always finding a structure of 26 and 8 and 13. Now, the interesting thing, let's just try and follow real quickly the progression on these things. You have Ani Hashem to Ani Hashem. You have Abraham Yitzhak Yaakov to Abraham Yitzhak and Yaakov. Then you have all the way throughout, for example, let me give you, I don't want to give you everyone. You see this? Latet lahem et eretz Kenan eretz migurahem asher garu bat. To give them the land of Kenan. E. You follow it down. Vehebeti etchem el haaretz. And I will bring you to the land. That's to give them eretz Kenan, and I will bring you to the land. You see on the latter part, vehotzeti etchem mitahat siblot Mitzrayim. You come down over here. Hamotzi etchem mitahat siblot Mitzrayim. These words and these words are duplicate. Now, you remember the thing about raising the hand that we saw? We said that means, the rabbi said that means I promised you, right? That's the covenant. Follow up to here, that is quoted Beriti. The word Beriti, you remember you asked me about Beriti? The word Berit is the 26th word from the beginning of the text. The other word Berit is the 52nd word. In other words, you go from here to here, you have 26. You go from here to here, you have another 26. You go from here to here, you have 26 and 26. Almost everywhere you look in this text, whether it's from here to here to here to here, whether it's the covenants, and this covenant, I remembered my berit, is Asher Nasati et Yadi Latet Otah, that I promise to give it. So you have a perfect chiasmus in Ani Hashem to Ani Hashem, Abraham and Yitzhak Yaakov to Abraham Yitzhak Yaakov, Ve'beti et Chem El Haaretz, Latet Lahem et Haaretz, V'gam HaKimoti et Beriti is... But now, watch the other. There are two covenantal statements that are paralleled on the reverse side of this text. This one, we just now showed you, V'eskoret Beriti, comes down to Hashanat Satya Tadilatit Otah. But now look at this one. V'gam HaKimoti et Beriti. Where do you see the word Berit on the second part of the text? You don't. But if you come down and you look, what is the covenant? Who can answer this? Does anybody know? What is another way of saying the covenant that exists? What, in fact, is the deal that you have? V'lakati etchem li le'am. I will take you to be for me a nation. V'hayiti lachem l'Elohim. And you will be, and I will be for you a God. I'll take you for me a nation. So that is nothing more than another way of paraphrasing the word covenant. So you see covenant being referred to here and here, and you see its parallels on the other side. So to speak, I mean, just to make a little, you know, like it's being Doresh, it's explaining to you. My covenant, what is I will uphold my covenant means? It means that I will take you to be a nation for me, and you will, and I will be for you a God. Which is, of course, how numerous times throughout the Torah and throughout all of Tanakh, you will see the expression, I will be, you will be for me a nation, and I will be for you a God. So, there's almost no verse that takes place in the top 52 words before Ani Hashem that doesn't take place with its parallel down here to the second 52 words. Again, Ani Hashem starts it and goes to the end. Ani Hashem starts it and goes to the beginning. So, you see it to the point. The point I want to make to you by showing this piece to you in the Torah is to tell you that you see use of, by the way, I left out two things here. I don't know, I don't want to overwhelm you other than to say that there's a key phrase being made here. I'll try and say it quick. I appeared to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov as El Shaddai, this name here. Ushmi Yudke Vavke Lono Dati Lahem. I didn't make it known to them. Now I'm going to make my name known to you. On the bottom part, the counterpart to that is over here. Look. Vidatem ki ani Hashem Elokechem. And now you will know that I am the Lord your God. You see Vidatem? It's the 80th word. You see Nodati, which is referring to this word? It's the 88th word in reverse. So whether you look at any, almost any key phrase in this statement by Hashem, where he's going to make himself known, covenantal, he's going to make himself known, or he's going to state these Ani Hashems, wherever you're going to look, you're going to find the covenant. Before I go away from here, if anybody has any quick questions, real fast, you could ask me, because when we go into Tehillim now, I want to make sure that you have a very good picture of this. Does everybody follow how the parallelism works, the chiasmus works? Okay, there's one more thing I want to show you. Right here, you have statements in the latter part, after Hashem says, therefore tell, Lechen emor l'bnei Yisrael ani Hashem, you have this, you know, these famous four statements of Hoseti, Vitzalti, Vigaalti, Vilakati that you all know from Pesach. Well, there are more things that happen on the latter part. And if you look at them very carefully, not for analysis tonight, goes beyond the scope of this discussion, you see, then it goes like this, Vihotseti, Vihitzalti, Vigaalti, Vilakati, Vidatim, Hamosi, Vihebeti, and Venatati Uta Lachem Murashah. The final statement, and I will give it to you. So, I took you out, I saved you, I redeemed you, I took you. You will now know my name, who takes you out of Siblot Mitzrayim, which is the counterpart to this, Vehebeti Yathchem to the land, and then I will give you the land. They're all, would you say, something like verbs, Rabbi? They're verbs. There are eight verbs in this text. And normally, you don't catch it. These things, prior to Hacham Moshe's sheet, which we got in these last few years, you don't know that you're looking at eight covenantal verbs that I mean. You always are familiar with the first four. You're not familiar with the four that occur after the Ani Hashem. You have to look. You see, there's section, 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 section. So there are sections within Ani Hashem. There's sections from the middle of the text. By the way, remember, these are the two middle words of the text. It's dead center. Okay? So now, let me just come back to the front.
What does that all prove?
That only does one thing. That yesterday, last week, yesterday, feels like yesterday, you could close that light as you can put on lights. Or leave it for a minute. Just put on the lights. You could leave that on. Last week, when I was talking to you about these patterns that we discovered in Tehillim, I'm showing you now an exact same pattern that exists in the Torah by a key statement, the key a major revelation that Hashem is making to the Jewish people, to the nation. And that is using, this Vayirah opening words, you have to remember, you have to look at these are so to speak, spectacular, special words of God. And these words don't just simply say like this, I took you out of Egypt and my name is Yudkeh Vavkeh and everything, I'm going to give you the land. It's much more than that. It's a much more sophisticated and a much more complex and a much deeper message. Now, what does it accomplish? It accomplishes that if you could understand this text this way, and you understand it this way, the message that's being conveyed becomes much sharper, much more highlighted. In other words, if you're reading a text today, they'll sometimes take a text and you know what they'll do with it? They'll use highlighting in it. They'll use boldfacing. They'll use underlining. They'll use italicizing. They'll indent a certain part of the paragraph. There are many ways when a text is written today in order to make a point that are used. The Torah is not written that way. The Torah is a straight text. You can only analyze the words through an analysis of what's being said. The structure, it's parallelism, it's symbolism, and there's one thing I told you this week that I did not say last week, and that is the use of a word and its numerical value. And that's where you really see this expression that you hear today that I said is so abused. This word, gematria, this word of taking a numerical value and turning the numerical value, this word, into some kind of symbolic message. Here we see the Torah doing it, by the way.
But what is the thing that the Ovis didn't know? You're leaving out the pshat. What didn't the Ovis know?
Okay. For purposes of tonight, I'd love to answer that question.
It's so easy. They didn't know fulfillment. Wait, and now you see it's fulfillment.
Well, that's It's more than that. It's more than that. It's a lot more than that. It's what has, when Hashem appears as any Hashem in the Torah. Go along with it. You want me to answer him? Okay. I'd like to pass on it. Yeah, it's another subject. I'll tell you why I can't answer tonight. Only because I want to go to Tehillim and I want to learn a Mizmor right now. I'll simply say that the word Ani Hashem, this expression Ani Yudke Vavke, you see it repeat in the Torah how many times? You could take a guess. 80 times. Exactly 80 times. It's a covenantal statement. There's another example of how you'll see the symbolism being impressed on us through how many times? See, 80 times. You'll see how many of them in Vayikra? 52 times. 26 and 26. And it goes on and on and on. Now we can... I'm sorry? Anuchi Hashem is just a few times, just very little, very little. By the way, just very quickly, no time for now, but the word Yudke Vavke in the Torah, the amount of times it occurs, the verses that it occurs in, the times it occurs with and without prefixes, all of them are multiples of 26, everywhere you look. It's so far-reaching, this, that if you look at there, how many verses? There, 1,380. How many things? There, 1,352, 2,600 and something. It's all, every single usage of God's name in the Torah. And Nevi'im Rishonim. However you look at it, together, separate, or all throughout, always lands on a multiple exactly of 26, or the number 26 is in fact used throughout the text. You actually will see it. Not another thing that's beyond tonight, but you should be aware of the fact that this symbolism is so far-reaching, it goes to all of the usage of Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke, throughout the whole Torah. Okay.
You didn't answer the question. What didn't the others know?
Not for now. Okay. Say it. Well, you could say that. Fulfillment.
It's so beautiful.
Okay, say it. Go ahead.
The others never saw God fulfill a promise. And now God says, watch, I'm going to fulfill my promise.
That's right.
And that's what you see here.
It's very good. I only meant to say that there's a lot more than just simply that I'm going to fulfill my promise here and that it requires...
That's how the Rishonim wanted.
Right.
Shin Daladud means... It was enough just that I
gave Sheolam leolamor die, right. And now he's not just saying enough, he's going beyond it.
Right. I'm
going
to actually
right.
do it.
Right. Okay, now I'd like to... Yes? No. Anything that you're seeing right now, this piece here is only being analyzed just for its own self. What we're seeing in this piece is very hard to shake, David. In other words, what you're seeing here is it is exact. You can cut it 20 different ways, and you see so much chiasma in here that you can't believe it. It's just repeat. Of course, the message is different. And then the use of the 26 and the use of the covenantal numbers. Okay, tonight... Okay, go ahead, please. I'm sorry. Yes? Could you speak in English for everybody else? Yes. Yes.
Do you see a difference in the sophistication of the structure in the different levels of the individual?
Yeah. I could tell you like this. The Torah's structure is very unique, okay? But what the purpose of these classes are, this series of lectures, is one of the main purposes is to show that this type of structure exists in Tehillim. You could almost find it exact. And that was last week. If you remember, we said last week, I quoted the Gemara. The main reason for quoting the Gemara in Kiddushin was to say the following. It only discusses two books. It says how many words, verses, and letters there are in the Torah, and how many words, verses, and letters there are in Tehillim. There are many, many books to choose from. So to answer your question, without saying if it in fact is or isn't the case, because I have found patterns like this in Nevi'im Rishonim, Yeshua Shoftim, Shmuel and Melachim. Yes, there I have found very, very, very sophisticated patterns. Similarly, I have not found it elsewhere besides those two places that other than in Tehillim with such sophistication. And I was implying to you last week that in fact I think that the rabbis were telling you that they recognized this parallel. They saw it. They said, this amount of verses, 5888, add 8, you get Tehillim. That's what they were trying to tell you. There's five books in the Torah, there's five books in Tehillim. And I mentioned to you last week, so therefore, as far as Kiddushah, certainly the Torah is in a class to its own and a level to its own, but Tehillim, using this type of symbolism, it's very, very, very not. You find the same kind of symbolism in the Torah, and it has a role, I said last week, of seeming to be something like the flip side of the coin. I said the Torah is Hashem talking to Bnei Israel, and that Tehillim is the Nevi praying to God. Something like this week, somebody asked me, just to give this as a simple example, not to be taken literally, when I say the flip side of the coin, the Torah, so to speak, just for argument's sake, just to give you a general idea, the Torah opens up, gives the creation of the world, and then speaks about good and evil and the Garden of Eden. And the first Mizmor of Tehillim speaks about good and evil, gives you Asher Ha'ish, Asher Lo Alalach, and it tells you that the individual who is good, V'haya Ke'ed Shatul Al Palge Mayim, Asher Piryo Yiten Bi'ito, V'aleo Lo Yibol, V'chol Asher Ya'aseh Atzliach. Something like you get the feeling that you're seeing a person who's in Gan Eden. He's by the water, and his leaves will not wither, and he's always happy, and he's content, and his life is good. That's the individual who chooses good. So to speak, like the individual who's in Gan Eden, and prior to his sin, he's like Ke'etz. What is that guy? He's like Ke'etz, Shatul al Palgemayim, Asher Piru Yitin Beito, Ve'aleo Lo Yibol, V'chol Asher Yaseh Yatzliach. All of his life is good, and then when he does the sin, he does it. So it's almost like when I'm saying that's the flip side of the coin, here you are, book one, the opening story of good and evil and Gan Eden, and the opening story of good and evil and Gan Eden, but from a different angle. By the way, I'm not telling you necessarily that I'm 100% right about what I'm saying. I'm only saying that if you look at it this way, you get a sense of what I mean by it's the flip side of the coin. You're looking at it, the other one is God, Hashem, telling you a story, a very sophisticated story. The other one is a comment that's being made by the Nevi, and it's like he's writing a commentary on, it's like a pirush, you know? You could almost call it like a pirush on the Gan Eden story. Another way of interpreting the Gan Eden story. You follow me, Isaac? Here he is, he's saying the story, now he says the comment about the story. What is going on? That's the Shiloh al-Akhbar, says Shim, Dirich HaTa'im Lo'amad, Moshev Le'sim Li'ashev. It's, the other one is just eating a piece of fruit, something off of a tree. Whereas over here, we're going into detail about what the obsession with that tree is. That tree is those bad things that you talk about. And the flip side. Therefore, I think that's what I was trying to explain to you last week, that's what I mean by it's the flip side of the coin. Since, you know, in the next session we're going to talk about sequence in Tehillim and try to show you that this is a book and that it isn't just a mizmor that stands on its own, and in fact they're connected to each other and there's a story going on over here. And therefore, this flip side of the coin and this story, if it would be true, what I just now told you, would be the beginning of both stories, and they're going to lead in some kind of a path from the beginning all the way to the end. It'd be very interesting to see if we could take it. In any event, that's the closest I can come to answering your question about Kiddushah. The rabbis are telling you something is going on that other side of the coin that uses all of the symbolism, all of the literary structure, as does the Torah, and the reason may be for this reason. Maybe. I can't tell you. That's the closest. All right? We had a little question and answer. Since this is the lecture on Tehillim, I'd like to learn a Mizmor tonight and try and see some of this structure in Tehillim. If you'll open up. I'm tired already. Open up to Tehillim, chapter 90, Mizmor 92. Yes? Better? Okay. Rabbi, I have handouts from last week for 92. Should we just give them to them to people to hold on to? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, yeah, you can give them out.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm going to use the overhead projector, But really, we can learn the Mizmor first together. You have to learn this Mizmor. You can't just... Okay? By the way, talking about 92, you know we have a custom to say Mizmor, the Mizmor of the day. Correct? In our prayers every day, we say one of the Mizmor from Tehillim. I just would like to point out to you, if I have it here, that the order of those Mizmorim that we read are as follows. We read the 24th, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday through Saturday. It's like this, 24, 48, I'm sorry, I didn't say it right, 24, 48, 82, 94, 81, 93, and 92. That's the way we read it. I just want you to be aware of the fact that these Mizmorim that we read every day, that the rabbis said, read these Mizmorim, they picked it out for a reason. They did the Mizmor of the day. Whatever the reasons are, which we can't go into tonight, the order that they're in, I just read to you the way you read it on Monday through Sunday through Shabbat. But in fact, what you're reading is 24, 48, 81, 82, 92, 93, 94. So for some reason, they chose to take three Mizmorim from the fourth book, 92, 93, and 94, and have them. And 81 and 82, back to back, I think. I think that that's not accidental. And next week, in our lecture on sequence, we may be able to, in fact, shed light on how these customs evolved. In any event, let's take a look at Mizmor 92. Could you sit here 1 minute? I have to get it myself, folks. Give me half a second. I'm catching my breath. Yeah. Open up to 92. Did I say? I'm sorry. Yeah, 92. 92 is the Mizmor, is the last Mizmor, right? That's the one of Shabbat. You are all very familiar with it. One of the reasons I chose 92 was because everybody says it so many times. You read it on Friday night. You read it on Shabbat again. You read it numerous times. You read it in the Tefillah. How many times altogether, Rabbi? Friday night, Saturday, two times, maybe three times. Yeah, so three times. It goes like this. Super scripture. Mizmor shir liyom Shabbat. A mizmor shir to the Sabbath day. End of super scripture. The mizmor starts. Torah lehodot ladonai. Now, I'm going to read in Hebrew and I'm going to let Isaac Sutton read the English for us, so because we want to go as rapidly as possible now. Tov lehodot l'Adonai.
It is good to praise the Lord.
Ulzamer l'shemcha elyon.
To sing hymns to your name.
Hymns. To sing hymns to your name on high. Lehagid b'boker hastecha. To tell in the morning your faithfulness. Ve'emunatcha b'lelot. And your faithfulness at night. One means kindness, one means truth. All are translated as faithful. By the way, very quickly, just because we spoke about it last week quickly, when you see over here, Tob Lehodot, the counterpart of Lehodot is Lezamir. And the word Lehashem, its counterpart is Leshemcha, Elyon. So, Tob Lehodot Lehashem, Ulzamir Leshemcha Elyon. The Tob is a statement that goes on both parts. Similarly, you have another thing you see common in Tehillim. Lahagid baboker hastecha, in the morning your hesed and your emunah, so hesed is to emunah, belelot at night. In that one you have it, A, B, B, A. The boker to the lelot, the hesed to emunah. Ale asor va ale nabil, ale higayon bichinur.
With a 10-string harp, with voice and lyre together.
Yeah. Ki simachtani Adonai b'faulecha. Because you have made me happy, Hashem, with your actions. B'ma'asei adecha aranin. With the work of your hand, I will sing out in joy.
Shout for joy.
So you have, again, You have fa'olecha, you have ma'asi adecha. You have, again, the counterparts, and you have the simachtani and aranin. Ma gadlu ma'asecha Adonai, how great are your works, Hashem. Me'od amku ma'ashivotecha, your...
How very subtle your designs.
Your designs. They're very deep, from the word amok, profound. They're very profound. They're amazing. Ish ba'ad, you know, Hashem, ish ba'ad, a foolish person, lo yada, cannot understand this. Uchsil, and again, a foolish person, a brute, they'll say, lo yabin etzot, cannot understand this. By the way, over here you do have a little intensification. Lo yada, lo yabin. The yada is to know, yabin is to understand. It's a deeper one. The ba'ar goes to the kasil. They're not they really are, in fact, not duplicates. The kasil is a different state, right? Bifroah rishaim kimoesiv. What, in fact, cannot foolish people understand? Avin.
So all evildoers blossom.
They blossom. They atzitzu. They blossom. All the evildoers. Lihishamdam adead. It is to the an end that will end in destruction. It is so that they will only end.
It is only that they may be destroyed forever.
Right. Adead. They will be destroyed forever. Ve'ata, and you, Marom Le'olam Hashem, you are exalted Le'olam Hashem. You, that's the evil. You, you're Marom Le'olam Hashem. You are exalted. It doesn't say exalted. What's that?
In the middle.
Oh, okay. But you, Hashem, are exalted for an eternity, forever. Ki hine oibecha Adonai.
Surely your enemies, O Lord.
Ki hine oibecha, because surely your enemies, this is a repetitive, yobedu, they will die. Yitperedu, they will be scattered, called po'ale avin, all the evildoers. Vatarem ker'em kerni.
You raise my horn high.
Baloti b'shemen ra'anan. I am soaked in fresh oil, in freshening oil. V'tabet eni b'shurai. And I, my eyes see my enemies.
Of my
right. V'kamim alai mire'im tishmatna uznai. My eyes see those who are watching me to destroy me. And when they stand up against me to come after me, Tishmana uznai, my ears hear. So my eyes and my ears are aware of those people who are out to get me. Sadiq, the righteous person, katamar yifrah. He blooms like the date palm. Ke'erez belebanon yisker. Like a cedar of Lebanon, he thrives. He spreads out everywhere. Shetulim Bebet Adonai, planted in the house of Hashem, Bihatzrot Elohenu Yafrihu. In the courtyards of Hashem, they will flourish. Yafrihu. Or Yenubun Bisiva, yet they will be fruitful in their old age. Deshenim Vira'ananim Yehu.
They are full of sap and freshness.
Right? Sap and freshness, like young people, Hagid Kiyashar Adonai.
To
tell that God is upright, Suri, my rock, the law, I've lat that boy, and there is no wrong in him. By the way, you see over here the word, just very quickly as we're reading, you see over here in Pasuk 14, it says, Behatsodan Yafrihu. So you have the word Yafrihu there. Who sees it elsewhere? You have Katamar Yefrah, and then you have Befroah Risha'im. So you have the Bifrah Rishaim being contrasted with the Sadiq Yifrah and with the Hatzrot Elohenu Yafrihu. Okay? So this mizmor, it's a mizmor that on very quickly in summation says like this. On the one hand, you have evil. And when you see this evil, if you are not a discerning, intelligent individual, you will not understand what's going on. Ish bar lo yada uksil lo yabin etzot. An unintelligent individual can't understand this. What does the unintelligent individual understand? What does he think when he sees this evil like grass all over the place?
It's only temporary.
No, no. What does he think? The unintelligent, the bar, who can't understand this. He says, Sadiq, Viratlo, and Rasha, Vitovlo. That's how he interprets it. He says that a bar and a kasil can't understand what I'm about to say. The bar and the kasil think, Sadiq, Viratlo, Rasha, Vitovlo. They think that that's the way this world is. But it's not the case. It is not the case. When you see them sprouting like that all over the place, you think that they're sprouting all over the place and that's going to be the end of it. But it's not. It's in the end to their utter destruction. They're not here anymore. They're gone. They will be destroyed for an eternity. But you know what? By the way, just very quickly, this expression, Ish ba lo yada uksil le bin zot in Mizmor 73, the Navi in 73 uses the exact same expression. Take a look at 73 verse 21, where it doesn't say Ish ba lo yada uksil le bin zot. In our Mizmor, it's stating it as a foolish man can't know this. In 73:23, in that mizmor, which is the first mizmor of the third book, the Navi, I'm sorry, 21, sorry, 21, Chaf Aleph, he says like this. Okay, guys. 22, okay? It says like this. Va'ani ba'ar v'lo eda. I was a ba'ar, and I didn't understand. Behemot hayiti imach. I was a brute, a behemah. I don't understand. Over there, the Navi is commenting on himself because he himself went through this question of Tzadik Varat law and Ashat Vitov law and could not, in fact, deal with it. And all of 73, by the way, will be the opening, the third book, which will talk about the destruction of the Jewish people during the 586, during the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem. In that discussion, he cannot cope with seeing this Tzadik Varat law and Rashat Vitov law. And he talks about how he couldn't cope with it until he came to terms with it. And in 73, he tells you he came to terms with it. So in fact, we see that idea being used. And now we come back to 92, and he doesn't state it about himself. He states it as if it's past tense. He doesn't say, I was. He says, a fool can't understand Tzadik Varat Lo, Rasha Vitov Lo. By the way, I'm sure you're all asking yourselves, I can't understand Tzadik Varat Lo, Rasha Vitov Lo, so I'm foolish. It's very difficult to understand what this means. It says it's there for their utter destruction. But I think, if you're asking yourself, I hope you're asking yourself that question, what in the world is? How does it work? How does this good and evil thing work? It's a very, very difficult question. When the Navi says, I was a Ba'ar, he was a Navi, and he had a lot of difficulty with it. He's trying to tell you that, of course, you need a tremendous amount of analysis. You've got to concentrate on this one to get the answer. It's not an easy one. You've got to look and look. But he does tell you that when you see them, they will, in the end, get destroyed. Vata merom li'olam Hashem. The key words that he comes and says, you, Hashem, you are above, you are exalted above everything. And then in the second, he continues now in what we'll call the other side of the mizmor, the second half of the mizmor. He says that the evil, that the tzaddik, he will in fact be fruitful. Od yinubun b'sebah deshenim v'ra'ananim yu. There'll be tzaddik katamar yifrah. The second side of the mizmor goes like this. If you look at the description of the good, the evil, how is the evil described? As what? Grass. How is the Sadiq described? As the cedar of Lebanon, the most powerful. That's like in America, the California redwood, the one you can drive the car through. The long, the tall, the powerful, the most powerful. So he's already setting you up to see that these evil are spreading like grass. They're all over the place, but they're very low. And the Sadiq, on the flip side, the righteous individual, the one who is faithful, the moral, the ethical person, he stands strong and able to flourish for an extended period of time. In other words, beyond his life. the evil will get destroyed. It's temporary what you're seeing. It looks like it's forever, but it's not. That's what he's setting you up for. And the Sadiq will live beyond himself. In it, he will continue. He will have the inheritance. The nation will continue. Your children will continue the greatest gift to hear. In the middle of this mizmor stands the God Hashem, the Tamar Om Elam Hashem. And we'll see once again in this mizmor the usage of the central theme being emphasized and the use of words. Take a look, it's very easy, this mizmor.
There's no chiasmus here though.
There's chiasmus in a different type, not for now. Different than with the kind we've been talking, but there certainly is chiasmus, but different than what we've been describing. If you just close any light here, I'll try and show you how this mizmor is structured now. You had sheets in your hand, but it's very, very straightforward, I think. This mizmor, if you'll see over here, consists of 112 words. The superscripture is Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat. You therefore are left with 108 words. The 108 words, if you go down to the bottom, you take this now, you take Tov as your first word, and you follow the Tov all the way to the bottom, you end up with Adi'ad. When I say bottom, it consists of consists of 16 verses. The first 8 verses end up at the word Lehishamdam Adi'ad. If you remember in our discussion just now, we said that there's one side of this mizmor that talks about the rasha, the evil, and that they are, where he said, Ish ba lo yada, b'froach rishayim kimo eser etziso kol pol avin hishamdam adeh ad. But you Hashem, ve'ata marom le'olam Hashem. You are exalted forever, Hashem. Correct? And then, over here, in the word from ki, on down, you talk about how the righteous will flourish. So one side it's the evil, and the other side it's the righteous. We're going to show you how here, Vata, Marom, Le'olam, Hashem, is the exact center of this mizmor. The reason being simply this. What is the number up to the end of talking about the evil? Magadlu Masecha. Ish bar lo yada, uksi lo yabir etzot, before Hashem kodesh v'tzidkot, lishamdam adeh ad. How many words you have? Can anybody see? If you can't, I'll lift it up for you all to see. It's 52 words to the end of that text. From the second part of the text, counting backwards, from the end of the text, you count up and you will see that when you get to the 52nd word, you will be at key. What stands in the middle of this text? Ve'ata Marom Le'olam Hashem. So, you remember when we were talking about the Ani Hashem of the Torah's piece from Shemot? You see the usage over there of 26 and 52 and the numerical value. This Mizmor says, Ve'ata Marom Le'olam Hashem. It's pointing you very clearly. The Navi is pointing you in a direction. He's saying, focus, folks. Focus at what I'm telling you. There are 8 verses and 8 verses. The dead center of these two sections is in between Vata Marom Le'olam Hashem. You have 52 words before, 52 words after is 104 words, and then 4 more words makes the 108 words. Now when you look at it, you're going to ask, why did the prophet do that? Well, again, we say that this is the way you get a sense for the message through thousands of years. He's talking to you through time. And the way he talks to you through time is to emphasize a very special message. This 52, by the way, you notice, of course, what verse does the key phrase come in? The 8th verse. How many verses? 8 and 8. He splits it into 8 and 8. There are 8 verses talking on one side of Ata Marom, and there are 8 verses on the other side. You can close it as. Turn on the light. There are 8 verses on one side. There are 8 verses on one side, and there are 8 verses on the other side. You look at your sheets in front of you. You have the evil is being talked about, how the Baal and Kisil will not understand it. Ve'ata Merom Leolam Hashem. So when you read this mizmor, if you get a sense for how to use, because you asked me what does this mean to the bigger question, if you get a sense for how this mizmor is written, many people will read this mizmor and it goes like this. It just goes right by you. You don't have a good picture. You can't focus properly. You can't have the proper kavanah. You can't even understand necessarily what the message that's being conveyed is. But if in fact you're able to look at the mizmor the way we're talking now, and you could say, this is the exact center. He's pointing me. It's like two arrows. You know, it's like two arrows going like this. It's like he drew an arrow this way, and he drew an arrow this way. And he said, remember, I'm going to be discussing now Tzadik V'Ra'lo, Rashat V'Tovlo, one of the most difficult the biggest philosophical question that there is on the face of earth. This is like the one that you think of Moshe going, I have one question, that's my question. It's the big question. It's the big one. No bigger question. So he says, a bar and a kasil won't do it. He's, of course, setting you up with that. You're reading it and you're going, I don't understand it. So he's telling you, think. Like earlier he said, v'ani bar v'loyadak, be'emot ta'itimach. Then he's telling you, look at that one side and think about that evil. It's temporary. It looks that way. The other person is katamar yifrach, ke'eres bele benon yisgeh, shetulim bebet Hashem. So he's setting up the two sides to you. And then he's telling you, you must be aware of the fact that Hashem, v'atah, merom leolam Hashem. He speaks to God in the middle. You notice he's talking to you. And then he says, lishamdam, and then he goes, v'atah, you know, it's like he looks to God for a minute. And he looks up at this juncture, and he goes, v'atah, merom leolam Hashem. You are exalted forever. You're eternal. He senses. So by the way, that may be, may not, why he puts 52 words before and 52 words after. The four sections in this mizmor are broken up into 25, 27, 26, 26. The left side is a 26-25 break, if you look at your text there. The right side, when I say the right side, I mean the other side of Atamarom, is 52 words broken up into a 26 and a 26. So is he, in fact, indicating, to answer your question of earlier, for a second, how you should think of V'atamarom lo'olam yudkeh v'afkeh? What are you? You're eternal. You get a sense of God's hayah, hoveh, yehyeh, you're exalted. You are ade'ad. You are here forever. For me, looking from my view, it is a very short-sighted. It is a very, it's temporary. I can't see it. I can't see it. But if you look carefully, you're going to continue on, you righteous people. Those evil people will disappear off the face of the earth very quickly. That's the beginning of the answer to understanding this Tzadik V'Ra'lo Rashat V'Tovlo. It's the beginning to the answer. So he's doing a lot of things for you. He's giving you, he's pointing you, he's pointing the arrows, he's highlighting, he's telling you it's part of the covenant, and he's telling you how to think about his words. This is a spectacular tool.
I think it's important also to point out the only two pesukim that are tricolor,
right,
and also that they don't flow together.
Absolutely, you have to explain it to them. Maybe you tell them. Yeah,
tricolor
means like this. Look here. It says, in the v'atamarom leolam Hashem, it says like this: b'froach hashayim kimo esev ve'yatzitzu kol poale avin lishamdam adiyah. That's called tricolon. It goes like this. 1, 2, 3. And then you have that. One statement. There are no two sides. There's the four words do not have. They're not even a bicolon. They're just that. It's a flat, unequivocal clause. You are exalted forever. And there's no parallel. There's no chiasmus. There's no nothing. There's just
it's an overarching
thing. Overarching. That's why on that sheet, I put it at the top. It's quite clear that the Navi is telling you that Tamarom Le'olam Hashem does not get included in how you look at this structure. You take it, you put a left side, you put a right side, you put it overarching. It's on top of everything. That's right. There are multiple. God is one. He is unique. He is ahad. He is eternal. That's why, on the other side, to show you the other tricolor, v'atamaron l'olam Hashem, it goes like this. Ki hineh oibecha, Adonai, ki hineh oibecha yobedu, yitparidu korpale avim. One, two, three. So you have one, two, three, one. One, two, three. I think that's spectacular, Rabbi. I never noticed it. Right, right. Every other one is a perfect pair, in other words, with some kind of A, B, B, A, or a play like that. Isn't that unbelievable? Isn't he great? It's spectacular. So, by the way, you know what this accomplishes? It's really... I'm sorry, go ahead. That's for... We don't know if we're going to get to that tonight, but I'll tell you very quickly that we... It's 10 to 10. I want to learn one more mizmorta tonight. And we've been going for an hour and seven. Yeah. I'd like to, I'd like to learn 93. It's a small one. I don't want, now that you know, it's very hard. A group like this is quite a lot of people in the room. I see around the room, eyes are like bright and understanding and getting a sense of what it is to learn a mizmor in a way where it can impact you, where it can give you feeling, especially in view of what the rabbi just pointed out. So if we could just read one more, and then I'll come to your question right away.
Is it just elected mizmorim, or every mizmor has this balance and symmetry?
Every. Okay. Now let's go, okay? You like that answer? Adonai Melech, look at his face. Listen, the exciting thing that Rabbi Barry wrote on that paper when he said like this, Rabbi Barry Mevashama, what did you write this? I got embarrassed when I saw long-lost, exciting discoveries, you know. The answer that's so exciting about this is that you ask the question, is it all? It's all, and nobody knows them. And when you see them, see, what we're very excited about these mizmorim goes like this. It's right. Once you see the symmetry, you could stand there on your head and spit with nickels. You can't shake it. It's there, to be very unsophisticated. So it's very difficult, little humor, it's very difficult to shake it. It's very difficult to do anything. It stands. You know how the Ani Hashem of the Torah statement stood out there, and you can't do anything about the Vayera. What you saw today in Vayera, you'll all go back and look at it, can't shake it. It's there. It speaks for itself. And here it speaks for itself. And what we're finding, because of what Rabbi Sassoon gave us, told you that in the first class, gave us a combination, gave us a key. Once he gave us the key, everything started to pop one after the other. Okay, let's go to 93 now. You'll notice that 93 is a mizmor that doesn't have any superscription. Approximately 126 of the 150 mizmorim do have superscriptions. Or some, the truth, I don't remember, folks. It's something like that. 20-something of them don't have superscriptions. About 124, 25, 26, I don't remember exactly, 130. The truth, don't hold me down to this. The great majority of them have superscription, a few of them don't. I have the statistic in here. We'll talk about it another time. Therefore, when it doesn't have superscription, you have to ask why it doesn't. If all the others do, the reason I brought that up is, well, why doesn't this one have it? Why doesn't it have some kind of introductory words? Is it by accident? We don't believe anything's by accident now. As follows. Adonai Melech Geut Labit. 93 verse 1. I'm going to let Isaac translate.
The Lord is God, is King. He is robed in grandeur.
Hashem Melech, the Lord is King. What does it say?
The Lord is King.
Lord is King.
He is robed
in Geut Labish. He's robed in grandeur. Labish Adonai Oz Hit Azar.
The Lord is robed, he is girded with strength.
So he's robed in grandeur, he's girded with strength. So you see, by the way, of course, right? Labesh, labesh, right? And when you say geut, the other side of that is what? Oz hitazar. He's girded in strength. Aftikon tebel, bal tebel, bal temot.
The world stands firm.
Right? Once it's set in place, Baltimore, it cannot be shaken. So God's world is, he's robed in grandeur, and once he sets the world in place, it can't be shaken. It's amazing. Nachon kis'acha me'az.
Your throne stands firm from old.
Your throne, your, in other words, Kis'acha will now stand for like king, your rulership, right? Your throne stands firm from old. Me'olam ata. You are eternal. Nas'u neharot. Now, by the way, you asked, by, what's a tri, tri-cola? Here's a perfect example of a tri-cola in... Yes. But here's a... I'm saying this one because of the... You can't miss it. Nas'u neharot Adonai. Nas'u neharot kolam. Yis'u neharot duchem. You have triple the word neharot. One, two, three. Now you could translate. Nas'u neharot Adonai.
The ocean sounds, O Lord.
Nas'u neharot kolam.
The ocean sounds in
its thunder. It's thunder. Yis'u neharot duchem.
The ocean sounds its pounding.
It's pounding. Mikolot maim rabim. Great, more than the sounds of the great waters, adirim mishbereyam, more majestic than the breakers of the sea. Mishbereyam comes from the word broke, breakers, like the breakers, the waves that break. Adir b'marom Adonai. Hashem is
majestic
b'marom, on high. Edotecha ne'emnu me'od.
The decrees are indeed enduring.
Lebetcha neva kodesh.
Holiness befits your house.
Adonai le'orechemim.
O Lord, for all time.
Okay, bear with me now. What happened in this mizmor is as follows. In this mizmor, next week we are going to talk about sequence. That is the final part of this series. Sequence is going to show you how mizmorim are connected and how there's actually a story, which I think is the most exciting part of this. But in this mizmor, you can see a little bit of a taste of how there's a flow. Because after the individual recognizes God's vata, you know that statement? Vata, marom, le'olam Hashem. In this, he talks about God's majesty. And he, for argument's sake, you know when an individual thinks of something, when he thinks of that Vatamarom L'Olam Hashem for a moment, it lifts him up. It gives him a sense of something beyond him. It moves him. It inspires him. And once he's inspired, the next thing he does is think of Hashem, Malach Geut Labesh, Labesh Adonai, Ozit Tezat. Once he thinks of Vatamarom, you know what he thinks of? He thinks of majesty. He's glorious. He's more awesome. He's eternal. Me'olam ata. Nasu neharot kolam. What is neharot? We're going to have to, for the purposes of this conversation now, spend a second to say. The rivers represent something that's majestic in the world. There's another thing you could use for majesty. What would you use? What's the other very famous mountains? Exactly. You have mountains being used for something. You stand in front of Mount Everest. You stand in front of a gigantic mountain, you look up, and you're awe-inspired by it.
Purple,
similarly, Purple Mountain Majesty, exactly right. And the Torah uses that imagery. You also have the majestic feeling that you get when you see the rivers, the oceans. For example, if you stand at Niagara Falls, and you stand there, it's majestic. And when you say Nasu Neharot Kolam, right, when you think of the waters rumbling down in their awe-inspiring majesty, he's using this imagery to make you have a sense of how he's awe-inspired. He's thinking of Hashem as the eternal ruler who is so majestic. Once he thinks of that, Tamarom Le'olam Hashem, and then he says, Adirim Shbireyam, Adir Bamarom Adonai. You're more majestic than the breakers. You're more majestic. Adir Bamarom Hashem. I don't know how to translate that good. You are more glorious, more majestic on high, O Lord. Now, he closes off with saying, Edotecha ne'emnu me'od. Lebetcha ne'avakodesh Adonai lo'rechemim. He talks about God's statutes. He talks about how their morality, that justice, that wonderful thing that it brings to the world. He talks about God's bayit, and then he says, "You are le'orechemim." To very quickly, because the hour is late, take a look at this mizmor and see how it ties in to what we're talking about as far as chiasma is concerned, as far as the idea of how it's pointing you in a direction, you'll see it very easily now. It's very easy. It goes like this. This is a very short mizmor, so you'll be able to get the point quickly. You'll notice that this mizmor has no superscriptures, so all we have to do is look at the number 45. What in 45, what's the center of the number 45? 45
words.
Yeah, something with 45 words. What's the middle of it? 23. So you go and you look now and you see there are, in the middle verse, there are five verses, correct? One, two, here's the third verse, then four and five. So I'll push this to the top for those of you in the back so you can see it for now. Here we are. I don't know how to move this thing. Here we are with a mizmor that has 45 words, 5 verses. There's a middle verse, so it's the center. How many words are there before the middle verse? 18. How many words are there after? 18. What's in the center? Watch. Nesu neharot Adonai. 1. Nesu neharot kolam. 2. Nesu neharot tuchem. 3. So there's 3 neharots, right? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. This neharot is the middle of the 3. This neharot is the middle. This neharot is the middle. The 3 neharot have a middle, being this one, and that is the center word of this text, which is in the center verse of this text. So far, so good? Okay. So therefore, of course, this mizmor is pointing you in the direction of looking at this. You are robed in majesty, right? You're majestic. When you set the world in place, Nachon Kisra, Baltimore, Nachon Kisra, Me'az, Me'olam Atta, you are eternal. Then he thinks and speaks about the things that talk about God's majesty by using, in this instance, the rivers. And he wants you to concentrate on that majesty. So he says, Nes'u Neharot Hashem, Nes'u Neharot Kulam, Yis'u Neharot Tuchyam. And he says it 3 times, pushing the point home with this word being right in the middle. He then continues, more than these rivers, more than this middle verse, Mikolot Ma'arabim, Adirim Ishbirayam, Adir Bamarom Adonai. You are more majestic than all of those things. You're beyond all of that. And then he makes his closing statement, Elotechno Adonai Kolosh Adonai Lorechemi. But now watch, this is the spectacular thing that you see. In the previous mizmor, he said that amazing statement, Vata Marom Leolam Hashem. So now you see that if you take the last 2 words from this section here, Meolam Ata, you move them over, you take the last 2 words from this section, Bamarom Hashem, Adir Bamarom Hashem, and you move them over, you realize that he did this. He took Vata Marom Leolam Hashem. He put them on both sides of the central phrase and said, you are Marom. But you know how he said you're Marom? He said, first of all, he had the L'orechemim, Me'olam Et, right? He closes off on Orechemim. So the amazing thing is that he takes the feeling of that idea that was focused on, that was concentrated on, that was highlighted when he was putting this thing of the good and evil of that Sadiq Varat Lord, Ashat Batov Lord, giving you perspective, and he comes and he takes those words and he puts them into this mizmor, no superscripture. You notice we read them together a lot of times. I think our rabbis clearly saw that these 2 mizmorim were written, so to speak, as a pair. We're going to show next week how they're not written as pairs, but it's the whole book, and it's the whole book and all 5 books together. We're going to try and show some of that. But he takes his opening statement and his closing statement and he surrounds his main point with Vata Marom Leolam Hashem. That's right. That's right. Another pattern. Now you're seeing not the pattern of, you know, when you saw A, B, B, C, C, D, D. Now you're saying, think of what you had before and take it to the next level and focus here, and this is the majesty in the middle. He wants you to get the feeling. Again, remember, you want to get the feeling of, I just for a minute, to talk totally, not in a completely objective sense, he wants to take you and lift you up It is the intention. You know, one time a guy came to me and said to me, you know how you think of Tehillim Lehavdil? When you don't know how to express your feelings, he's doing two things. He's teaching you. He's giving you the ability to... He's teaching you. He's sensitizing you. And he's giving you the ability to express your thoughts to God. Something like Lehavdil, just for argument's sake, when you buy a card and you don't know how to say the idea that you want to say you love someone or thank you to somebody, there are companies who make Lehavdil. They make, you go to them and they say, we'll show you how to say thank you. The difference between Hallmark and this is a gigantic difference. The difference between Hallmark and this is as follows. The other writers, whether it was, forget Hallmark, who uses, by the way, I used to do business with them about 20-something years ago. I used a license from them. And I saw the writers. I saw the room where they have the artists and the writers. And they get the best writers in the world who can say 16 words. That's it. They don't get the best writers in the world. They find in the world the guy who knows how to say happy birthday in the most exquisite way there is. And there's a whole bunch of them. And each one has his unique talent for a specific thing. So I'm not talking about those writers, because those writers have the ability to express themselves with 15 words, 20 words, 8 words, 16 words, whatever it is, 8, 16. But I'm talking about Shakespeare, or I'm talking about all of the great writers, as that professor once told Rabbi Shaman and myself. He says, there's Shakespeare, there's Dante, they're spectacular, but this is prophetic. Prophetic not in the sense of prophecy looking into the future, prophetic meaning being in contact with God and being inspired in the sense of inspiration. Nivuah in the sense of the inspiration comes into the individual. And when the inspiration comes in, you're seeing it in the most unique way. Because remember the Torah. The Torah is Hashem speaking. Over here, it's Him speaking to Hashem. It's Him praying to God. And when He does that, it's a unique, we feel, the Jewish people, it's a unique experience in the sense that He can lift you up to a height that you could not be lifted up to without His prophetic prayer that He's making. And by doing that, He has the ability, you can turn on the lights, He has the ability to take you one step further, one step higher, and make you get a sense of how He sees God, how He sees it in a prophetic sense, in an inspired sense, and can then lift you up to a higher level. If you use these techniques, because He put them there, God put them there, the Navi put them there, so that you could take them, analyze them, the depth of anything we discussed tonight, I think, Rabbi, what you spoke about tonight, when you said the tricolons around it, you knew about it before? You did. I don't remember it even. So it's so nice. There's so much going on. I think if you look into this further and further, you'll see it quickly. Next week, we're going to be doing Mizmorim 45. Hopefully, we'll get this far through 51. It will be very difficult for anybody, because we're going to show sequence. To show sequence, can't do it without less than the amount of Mizmorim I'm telling you for the purposes of this conversation. I would strongly advise you, if you're going to be here next week, to read, just read, the text, 45 through 51, read them. Read the English, get familiar with the Hebrew, because if you walk in here and we have to translate, we're finished next week. We won't be able to do anything. We'll spend the whole night reading and translating. This case, we needed to do it because we needed to analyze the text very well in order to make our points. Next week, you have to come in and sort of like this, folks. Be familiar with the text, read it, translate it one or two times, so when you walk inside, it's something like a mizmor that's a little bit familiar with you. Then we'll be able to do a proper analysis. For those of you who don't speak Hebrew very well, good luck. Also, I wanted to tell you that 92 and 93, 91 has also an outstanding aspect to it, but it's been an hour and a half now, and we really can't go into it. It would take another 10 or 15 minutes, but what I would like to do is offer you folks, because I really think that 91, sure.
I think we should ask them if they'd like to stay 15 minutes.
They're tired. I'm tired.
The reason I'm saying is because they're not going to have opportunity to do it next time. And it really, it's hard work. But if they want to.
It's hard work. I'll tell you, it's very rewarding, but it's hard. It'll take us. What? AB, the president of the synagogue wants to comment. Right? What? What? My wife said no way. She's arguing with the rabbi. Okay, listen. I tell you. Last week when the rabbi asked me to do 76, I got killed after. Let me say quickly. I got killed for doing it. Listen to me. I'm going to do it anyway. I'll tell you what. Tell you why I'll do it. I'll do it as fast as I can. I'll tell you why it's worthwhile. You know how when you heard 93 just now, you were rolling? You know, this is a kind of thing, learning Tehillim. You don't just walk in and just read it. Okay, I'll just do it. It'll help you now that you learned 92 and 93. Very quickly. Everybody open up. We're going to do it fast. 91. Yosher Beseter Elyon.
O you who dwell in the shelter of Most High.
Now, you have to concentrate because there's a difficulty in this text. The English translations don't know what to do with it. They have a big problem. It goes like this. Yosher Beseter Elyon, he who sits in the protection, the Seter, like the shelter of the Elyon, of on high, of the one on high. Betzil, by the way, remember we're going backwards now. This is what's coming before it. Betzil Shaddai lit Yitlonan. In the tzil, in the shadow of Shaddai, in this tzil shadow, what do you say when you mean shadow? You mean by that protection. In the protection of Shaddai, Yitlonan. He sleeps from the word lina, that's what you're saying. It means abides. It means he lives. So, Yoshev to Yitlonan, Beseter, Betzil Shaddai. So, there, and Elyon standing in the middle. I'm going to read this entire verse in English, in Hebrew now, and I'm going to let Isaac translate it. Watch what happens. Omar ladonai mahsi umsudati elohai iptah bo.
I say of the Lord, my refuge and stronghold, my God in whom I trust.
I say of the Lord, Omar lehashem, I say of the Lord, mahsi umsudati,
my refuge and stronghold,
Elohai Eptah Bo, my God,
in whom I trust,
Ki, Hu Yatzilecha Mipach Yakush, etc., etc. Okay?
He will save you from the fowler's trap and the destructive plague.
Midever Havot. Be'ebrato Yasech Lach.
He will cover you with his pinion.
V'tahat Kenefaf Tehse.
You will find refuge under his wings.
Sina V'sohira Amito.
His fidelity is an encircling shield.
So, This person, will Hashem will save you from the snare, from the plague. He'll put you under his pinions, under his wings, and he'll protect you from his encircling shield. Lo tira mipahad laila. Do not be afraid of the fear at night. Mehetz yo'uf yomam, from the arrows that fly during the day. Don't be afraid. Mideber ba'ofel yehaloch, from the plague that stalks by night. Miketev Yashud Tzaraim, from the scourge that ravages in the Saharaim, in the evening and noontime. Yipol Mitzidecha Elef, on one side of you will fall 1,000, Urbaba Miminecha, and a 10,000 from your right, Elecha Luigash. But they will not touch you. You are protected. Rak Be'enecha Tabit.
You will see it with your eyes.
Vishilumatra Sha'im Tir'eh. You will see how the evil will be paid. Ki ata Adonai mahsi elyon samta me'onecha.
Because you took the Lord, my refuge, most high as your heaven.
Right? You see, this statement, you haven, took haven. As your haven. You took the Lord. This is there's a narrator here, and he's talking, and he's saying this to the individual who did this. Lo te'one elecha ra'ah.
No harm will befall you.
B'nega lo yikra b'holecha.
No disease touch your tent.
Ki mel'achav yisav elach. He will command his angels concerning you, his messengers, l'shmorcha, to watch over you, to guard you, b'chol derachecha, in all your ways. Al kapayim yisa'uncha.
They will carry you in their hand.
Pen tigof b'emer aglecha, lest you trip and your feet and you get hurt with a stone. Al shahal b'fitin tadur, you will tread on the cubs and on the vipers. Kefir b'tanir termos kefir b'tanin, you'll trample the young lions and the asps, the snakes. They're being contrasted, of course. Shahal and kefir and fitin and tanin. Ki bi hashak,
because he is devoted to me.
Va'afaletehu,
I will deliver him.
Now look, folks, God starts to talk. Up till now, it was a statement being made about that guy, how he is protected. Now, Hashem comes along, is the narrator. Now, Hashem comes along and says, Ki bi hashak, va'afaletehu. You know, God steps into this mizmor now. Hashem starts talking in the middle of this statement. Ki bi hashak, because he desired me, va'afaletehu, and I will deliver him. Asagebehu, I will protect him. Ki adashemi, because he knew my name. He knows my name. You know that? Ki adashemi, you remember that? I'm going to let them know my name. Over here, ki adashemi. Because in fact, that statement, you remember what we read from Vayera? Ushmi Hashem lo nodati. Now nodati. So over here it states, I'm going to pretend ki yadashemi, because he did have the proper awareness. So what happens? Yikra'eni, he will call me, ve'enehu, and I will answer him. And mo anochi b'sara, I'm with him in times of trouble. Ahalitzehu ve'achabedehu.
I will rescue him.
And I will
make him honored.
Yo'orechemim espiehu.
I will let him live
to a right long age, and I'll let him see my salvation. Now.